working with states to improve voter registration and the election process at pewtrusts.org. This is NPR.
Four pirates! On board, four pirates!
The film Captain Phillips, about a hostage drama at sea, is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture and is now out on DVD. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the film's star, Tom Hanks, and its director, Paul Greengrass. Join us.
Support for this program comes from listeners like you and Alaska Airlines, serving Alaskans with Club 49, a program created for the residents of Alaska and featuring numerous amenities. More information at alaskaair.com/club49.
Alaskans who experience developmental disabilities, traumatic brain injuries, and mental health conditions are important members of the state's workforce, from healthcare facilities and nonprofit organizations to retail stores and restaurants. Alaska Mental Health Trust beneficiaries are succeeding in the workplace. The Trust encourages Alaska employers to consider ways in which Trust beneficiaries and their unique skills can be good for business. Learn more at mhtrust.org.
Welcome to Juno Afternoon. Today's Thursday, January 23rd. My name is Shona Strouser. As always, we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk to Bill Legere, the general manager here at KTOO, about the present and the future things happening here at the station. We'll talk to Pete Griffin with highlights from Saturday's Telebration. We'll talk with performance poet Buddy Wakefield about his upcoming shows this weekend. And we'll get all the details about Girl Scouts and singing telegrams. Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up like she is every Thursday. Writer's Almanac, music, and more here on Juno Afternoon. And first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A South Dakota Senate committee killed a measure dealing with outside election money. The leader of a Native American voting rights group argued against the measure. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
South Dakota Secretary of State Jason Gant brought the bill to the committee at the request of the State Elections Board. Gant says members are trying to keep outside groups from dictating where polling places and other items are placed. Gant says it doesn't stop groups from encouraging all residents to vote.
If Bill Gates wants to come into South Dakota and give $10 million to encourage people to register to vote, encourage people to go to the polls, bring it on. Yes, we want every single penny. We'd happily tell him, do some TV ads, do some mailings to the public, get everyone who isn't registered to vote, and you know, do whatever they would want to do on that private side, not in the actual administration of the election.
The measure concerns O.J. Siemens with the Native American voting rights group Four Directions. He says the organization has worked to improve voting access on the reservations, and passage sends a message to Native Americans they don't matter.
In order for tribes and for tribal members to take and improve their social and their economic conditions on the reservation, they have to participate in the electoral process. Now we're getting there. We have representatives, senators that are Native American that work with the legislative staff here to take and try to go forward. If this bill is to pass, what it's sending out is we want you to maintain those social and those economic problems. We don't want you to participate in these in the political process, and so we want everything to be status quo.
After nearly 40 minutes of discussion, Senate Bill 33 was killed by deferring it to the 41st day. That's a common move South Dakota's legislature uses to kill a bill, since the session never goes more than 40 days. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
Both Colorado and Washington have approved the sale of marijuana for recreational use, while other states have allowed it for medical use. Some tribal leaders are looking at how this will impact tribes. Tristan Autone reports.
In October, a Gallup poll reported that 58% of Americans were in favor of legalizing marijuana. Currently, Colorado and Washington have allowed for the sale of marijuana. and states like Montana, Arizona, California, and New Mexico allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes. National Congress of American Indians President Brian Clottesby says tribes must still abide by federal law.
You know, if there's tribes out there that want to test that, then they're most likely maybe, but right now, tribes have to abide by federal law, and federal law says that marijuana is a drug and that it is illegal.
Clottesby adds that the Yakima Nation of Washington has passed a resolution saying marijuana is still illegal within the tribe's boundaries and is aiming to keep growers and sellers out of its territory, which comprises 10 counties in the state. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
In Canada, a protest canceled a talk Wednesday by First Nations leader Phil Fontaine at the University of Winnipeg. Fontaine was scheduled to speak about First Nations issues. He's a former chief of the Assembly of First Nations and recently accepted a job with an energy developer. According to news reports, protesters spoke out against oil sands development and are angry Fontaine took the job. The university is expected to reschedule the speech. During this week in 1860, Charles Curtis was born. He was an attorney and served in both the U.S. House and Senate for Kansas. Curtis was vice president during the Hoover administration. His father was white and his mother was Kaw. Curtis grew up in both Native and non-Native communities. He remained in Washington, D.C. to practice law after retiring from public office. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give and select KNBA-FM, Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser, and it's Thursday, January 23rd. And my first guest, I just feel actually so lucky to be in the studio with Bill Legere, the general manager here at KTOO. And welcome to the studio.
Shona, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
It's not even a pledge drive.
I know. It's great. So, you know, we're here to talk about 40 years, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to Jeff Brown earlier, and he's like, just ask one question. I'm like, what's the question? He's like, what's the history of 40 years?
40 years of KTOO. Yeah, it sneaks up on you. KTOO went on the air for the very first time the official date was a Saturday, January 26, 1974. There's a little controversy. There are three different dates in play, but we've interviewed people who were there and checked the calendars for 1974, and it pretty much does appear to be the 26th of January. Late in the evening, I heard yesterday the founders were on Juno Afternoon, Frederick Hoskinson and Dennis Harris and John Corso, and they pinned it down to almost midnight on Saturday, the 26th of January, so 40 years ago, and it's been a wild 40 years. Lots of interesting people, lots of ideas, lots of changes, and yet there are still some things that are pretty much the same as it was at the creation.
That's an interesting point. So what are some of the things that you really have noticed have stuck the same in the last 40 years?
I think most fundamentally, and I think about this from time to time, two things. First of all, is I think I wasn't here in 1974, but there must have been something really special going on in Juno, because that's about the time that other great institutions were created, like Perseverance Theater, for example.
The Jack, the Symphony.
The Jack, the Alaska Folk Festival, and the businesses of that day reflected, you know, the Fiddlehead Cafe, which sadly is no longer here, but was, you know, came out of that same era. And I think what was going on then is that Juno had attracted a bunch of bright young people, and nobody told them that you can't do these things. No one said no. And so they created these institutions, which amazingly have continued, and I think have continued pretty pretty true to their roots, their 1974 roots. Certainly, it's a much different world in many ways, and we've been through the booms and the busts of funding, and we were, all of these things started before the big influx of oil money. So everyone kind of thinks, public broadcasting and professional theater in Alaska was just riding on the coattails of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. But these things all started before the money started flowing and then had a chance to mature. And now we've been even through the loss of those incredible state funding opportunities. So that's one. And I guess the other thing that I've always said about KTOO is there's the DNA of the institution and the organization has never changed. Although the people have, and the technology has, and the mission has grown and expanded, there was sort of this geekiness of we can kind of patch together some technology and make something happen. And we don't have to know much about technology, and we don't have to have a lot of money. And that's kind of persisted. So that led to, they built the little radio station underneath the light booth in the high school auditorium. And then they patched together some old hand-me-down TV equipment and built a TV station. And then we figured out how to get video on the internet and how to pick up a couple of more radio stations and turn them into public radio stations, and we created Gavel to Gavel, and all of that I think just came from that same DNA, which is, yeah, we can do this, and it's kind of a little bit technology driven. It's people who are who get a thrill out of making something happen with scarce resources, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's grown so much, too. So as much as it's stayed the same, in what ways, in your tenure here, have you mm-hmm. seen it grow and expand?
Well, I came in about 1985, and at that time, I remember attending, the 10th anniversary party, mm-hmm. even before I worked here. So that kind of dates me. But it was a pretty well-established institution by the time I got here. It had grown up from its all-volunteer roots to having a professional staff with some really talented people. When I got here, it was in the building that Rainbow Foods is now located in, next to the state capitol, which was, I think, the third home of KTOO. And I think kind of the die had been cast in terms of how KTOO would relate with the community, and it's pretty much that has remained the same. What's really changed is the way people use media and what we compete with now. K2 is the first FM station and only the third radio station in Juneau, and there was scant TV, only three choices of radio, and no internet, and no other source of entertainment. So pretty much the only game in town. And now, of course, we're one of a million choices that people have to make every day.
Right. And it's an interesting thing because it's such an established thing in the community, people still make the choice to come mm-hmm. to KTOO. And
Yeah. I think it's, there's a lot of hand-wringing about the future of radio and the media environment. And, I'm bullish on radio, I think. It's cheap and ubiquitous. Everybody has one, and every car has one, and you can use radio while you're doing other things. And, so I think radio is going to be around for a long time. Radio survived television, but it changed dramatically when TV came along in the early 50s. And I think if radio has to transform itself, it will, but the technology and the intimacy with people who use it will continue, and I think that's in K2's future as well. I think our future is actually meeting the people who use our services wherever they want us to meet them. So we're not going to just say you have to, if you want to hear that story, you have to listen at 7:50 in the morning. We're going to give you that story on any platform, on any device. So if you want it on a mobile device, or however you want it, we'll deliver it to you. That's going to be different and continue to be different in the future. But the content and the local values and the public media values that go into the content, I think, will endure. So, you know, while the glitz of the latest toy or the newest platform may change, I think we will still imbue our content with public media values.
Yeah. Where else do you see future-wise? I mean, of course, any I thing, I think that's really important that we just, you know, move along with the times, of course. Where else do you see the future of KTOO going?
Well, you know, the other big change is that everything that's happened with technology has eliminated the boundaries of geography. It used to be that broadcasting was limited to how tall your tower was and how far your signal would reach. And there were, you know, and you could see the end of that range, you know, with a pair of binoculars. You could look out there and say, we can't go any further than that because there's a mountain. And now we have, you know, last year we had 250,000 unique users online, and there are only 30,000 people who live here in Chino. So, you know, we've kind of blown out that paradigm that that our reach and scope is limited to the people who can hear us over the air in Chino. We have, you know, obviously people using us everywhere on the planet, and a lot more people using us than live here now. So that's kind of a big change, and I think that'll only continue to grow and expand. And this summer we made a big organizational change to kind of try to erase the lines between conventional TV and conventional radio. For as long as K2's had TV and radio, they've been separate divisions, and often without much collaboration or communication between the TV side and the radio side. And this year we put that all together into, you know, into one organization where everybody works for KTOO and produces content. Almost everybody here produces content that can be seen on TV, heard on the radio, found online. And that's kind of, I think, maybe the biggest change, and certainly the most recent, is to say that we're a public media organization, not a TV and not a radio station, trying to get people to say, well, damn it, we're a radio station first, that we started as a radio station. We're really a, you know, a public media company that does, that, as I said earlier, that tries to reach you in every possible way.
Mm-hmm. And it's huge. Just talking to friends and, you know, outside, I mean, people in New York City who have a gazillion choices and they choose to stream KXLL, you know, I mean, it's really...
It is, and it's interesting, you know, our biggest story of last year on K2 News was Jeremy Shea happened to get a little video of the bear that walked into the Alaskan bar on a summer evening. So the headline was a bear walks into a bar, and that story went nuts, you know, and it had more views around the world than anything else, all the serious work that we've done. But you know, that kind of tells you what the potential is for something to instantly become a phenomenon, you know, to go viral as quickly as that. And that's kind of fun, but in the top 10 stories in terms of people who looked at them, that was number one last year.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yep.
Of course, and it's got such a great great headline, too.
And not to pass too much on the history, but we heard a great, you know, I had an hour of listening to the people who founded the station talk about the early days, and just really interesting times. I mean, you know, some things seem very much the same, but I bet you if we could just kind of, you know, parachute in and watch that, I think 40 years ago, Chino probably looked pretty different. You know, lots of sideburns and mustaches and you know, kind of the graphics of the time, you know, all of that stuff. So when I heard Frederick and Dennis and John Corso talking yesterday, it kind of reminded me that those were special times.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, and KTOO came out of it, so that's
yeah,
a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just one more quick question for you. So, when the day you said the 27th, is it?
It's the 26th.
26th.
We've decreed.
You've decreed.
Even though we can't prove it, there's no record at the Federal Communications Commission. In those days, they sent you a telegram that said, "Yes, you can begin broadcasting immediately." And somebody remembers the telegram coming in on a Friday and some furious wiring going on and to try to get the station on the air as quickly as possible. One of the guidebooks that listed the on-air date of all the stations back in those days said it was the 27th. So that's partly where the confusion is, and somebody remembered it was the 24th. But we decided this year we're going to say it is the 26th.
So what are you going to do to celebrate?
You know, no cake, no party. You know, we've kind of, it's, K2 affects so many people that that for us to kind of look inward doesn't feel quite right, you know, that we should be using this time to look outward. So we've been celebrating all year with a lot of community events. You know, we organized a trip of K2 fans to go back to see Prairie Home Companion in Minnesota. We've had receptions and events here at the station as kind of a year and a half long celebration. K2 TV turned 35 in October. So this date coming up is kind of the culmination of an 18-month anniversary birthday celebration.
That's
so
great.
I guess on Sunday we will each, you know, have our own little parties.
Your own private
our own
little
minds. Yeah.
Toast.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's great. Bill Legere, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you,
Sean.
It's always great to talk to you.
Yes, and the past, and of course for your great leadership. And speaking of Juno institutions, here's Juno Jazz and Classics bringing up Chick Corea and Bella Fleck. And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, January 23rd, and I stand corrected. Bella Fleck is actually coming up here from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. That's who's bringing up Bella Fleck, so look forward to that show. It's just going to be killer. And in the studio with me, I have Pete Griffin, storyteller. Hello, how are you?
Hey, great, Sean. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Well, so you've got this great event coming up on Saturday. It's called Telebration.
We do. Telebration is an annual event. It had been scheduled for November, which is when it occurs all across the country, but we had to postpone it because of so many conflicts in town. It's coming up Saturday, the 25th, at 4 o'clock at the Menhall Glacier Visitor Center.
So for people who don't know what Telebration is, can you let us know?
Yeah, Telebration is a national, actually it's an international event now. Originally conceived in 1988 by a storyteller in Connecticut by the name of J.G. Pawpaw Pinkerton.
Great
who
name.
Envisioned a night when storytellers would gather their friends and neighbors together and tell stories. And over the next couple of years, it was popular. It was picked up nationally by the National Storytelling Association. And now we have celebrations on 6 of the 7 continents, and for you kids out there, which continent is probably excluded?
I could guess. I'll leave it up to the audience. There you go. So you're a storyteller, and so you'll be speaking on Saturday?
Yep, I have a story. We've got 3 other storytellers lined up, Becky Bear, Tom Cosgrove, Pat McClear, and myself.
Okay. And so what are the stories are based on? Are they all, they run the gamut, or?
Oh, we usually have a pretty wide selection. Becky Bear will tell, she often tells folk tales or Native American stories. Tom Cosgrove tells personal stories. Pat McClure will tell personal stories. She also tells some well-known folk tales. And I almost always tell some personal story from my past. And this, the story I have lined up is one that I've never told before.
Really? Can you give us a little hint?
It stemmed from an incident back in high school, a couple of incidents, really. One year I took up basketball. I didn't do very good, and the coach pointed that out during practice. And as a result, I took up chess playing. And I really did well at chess, but I learned some things about chess playing, about basketball, and believe it or not, a little bit about bullying.
Oh, yes, of course. So you said that people can, it's open to the public. Is it a free event?
It is open to the public, and it is free admission.
Okay. And so people, what if you wanted to get involved in the next celebration?
I would just love for people to give me a call. I'm in the phone book, or I do have a website, too, www.thestorytellingranger.com.
That sounds great. And so you said that usually this is a November event. Is that a worldwide November event?
Or? Yes, it is. It's usually the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Okay. And will you be back on the November schedule this year, you think?
We're going to get it on the schedule early enough so people will look at that and say, oh, we better postpone our event because Telebration is that night.
That's perfect. Anything else you want to tell our listeners here about Telebration this Saturday?
It's a terrific event. It isn't for small children, but kids that are tweens and up, you know, the 10, 11, 12, up through adults. That's the audience that these stories are aimed at. They're not aimed at the young kids.
Great. And, you know, I know all of these storytellers, and I have to say all of them are just so entertaining and interesting to listen to, so it should be a lovely day.
Oh, it certainly will be a great event, and it's a great venue, and I really appreciate the staff at the Visitor Center allowing us to hold our event there.
That's great. So it's 4 p.m. Saturday at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. That's Telebration, a storytelling event.
Yes, got that right.
All right. And what's that website one more time if people want to get involved for next time?
They can either give me a call personally, like I said, I'm in the phone book, or they can contact me through my website, www.thestorytellingranger.com.
Great. Pete, thanks so much. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it, and best of luck with your event.
Thank you.
And now another storyteller, little Garrison Keeler.
And here is the writer's almanac for Thursday. It's the 23rd of January, 2014. It's the birthday of the architect Henry Mather Green, born Brighton, Ohio, 1870, who, along with his brother Charles, emigrated to Pasadena in their early 20s, where they designed homes in the arts and crafts style with some Japanese influences, and created a style of home that came to be known as the California bungalow. Simple, wooden, one-story, low-pitched roofs, balconies, porches. It was on this day, 1855, the first permanent bridge across the Mississippi was opened. It was in Minneapolis, a feat of engineering that connected Minneapolis on the West Bank to Nicollet Island to the village of St. Anthony on the East Bank. It's the birthday of the pharmacologist Gertrude Elion, born in New York City in 1918, went to work for the pharmaceutical company Burroughs Wellcome and formed a research partnership with Dr. George Hitchings that lasted more than 40 years. Over the course of her career, Gertrude Elion helped to develop drugs to treat leukemia, malaria, herpes, and AIDS, won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1988. It's the birthday of the poet and playwright Derek Walcott, born on the Caribbean island of St. Lucia, north of Venezuela, in 1930. Derek Walcott, who said, "For every poet, it is always mourning in the world, because the fate of poetry is to fall in love with the world in spite of history." And it's the birthday of the French novelist and essayist Stendhal, born Marie-Henri Bailey in Grenoble, France, in 1783. He wrote for journals and periodicals. He used dozens of pseudonyms, including William Crocodile, Old Hummums, and his famous name Stendhal. Published his first novel at the age of 44 and went on to write his masterpieces The Red and the Black and The Charterhouse of Parma. Stendhal, who said, "It is better to have a prosaic husband and to take a romantic lover." Here's a poem for today by Scott Owens, Cleaning House. Pulling the house down piece by piece, we see each other at our worst, before we've even had our first date, my face itching with black insulation, yours covered with white dust of sheetrock. We scrape off paint and paper, buff out spots, old glue, unexplained stains, remove tacky paneling, revealing forgotten charm, original beadboard hardwoods, solid ceilings. We're woefully unprepared, untrained, under-tooled, cutting off pipes with hacksaws, filling holes with toothpicks, Brillo pads, good wood pulled up from where it wouldn't be seen, an odd sort of courting, really, hammer and nails instead of flowers, microwaved hot pockets for meals, red wine in paper cups, all glasses still mysteriously packed away, ripping out rotted casements of windows, hollow doors, seven layers of floor. We sweat together, swear together, bend in unison towards the necessary destruction that always precedes renewal. Cleaning House, Scott Owens, from his collection Eye of the Beholder, published by Main Street Rag and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And that was Garrison Keillor. And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, January 23rd. And on the phone line with me, I have Mr. Buddy Wakefield. Hi,
Buddy. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And Buddy is coming to town this very Friday, actually tomorrow. And he's going to do a couple gigs here. So, Buddy, can you tell us a little bit about your gigs?
I believe the first one is with the Juno Poetry Slam at a bakery.
It's true. It's the Silver Bow Bakery. Yeah.
Silver Bow Bakery. It sounds like tasty fun. It's going to happen. And the second is at the Hangar Ballroom, I believe.
That is correct. At 8 p.m., and that's Saturday. Yeah. So for people who, Bud, we're kind of new. I mean, we have a slam now, which is a recent development in the last couple of years, and really put together by this amazing woman, Kristi Nami Eriksson. But people in our community are still pretty new to performance poetry. Can you kind of give us a rundown of what does that even mean?
Gosh, you know, well, slam is such a great thing to as a medium that provides a space for voice from any background, and the whole idea of it is really a gimmick to get people excited about poetry. The whole competitive aspect of it sort of gets the crowd involved, but it's really a place for people to go through and discovering voice and expressing themselves and experiencing vulnerability or humor or whatever it may be. And I've and spoken word in general, it's, you know, is its root. And for folks who don't slam, there's typically an open mic, you know, if you don't want to be competitive about it. And I haven't actually slammed since 2008. And I'm just excited to get to do spoken word, where basically I've just been writing my ideal self all these years. And as I grow up and get closer and closer to it, I get to share that with folks on a level playing field.
Yeah. You know, I have to give the radio listeners a little full disclaimer. Buddy and I are really old friends, and so to talk to you in a professional manner is very difficult for me.
I'm trying not to embarrass you.
Do your best. I'm trying to do the same. So we're really lucky, actually, to have Buddy come up here, and I feel very lucky because he's you're a performer's performer. You know, you get on stage and the room lights up, and so even if you're not, you know, a poet, you're not a person that's like, oh, I don't really, you know, like poetry, blah blah blah. Well, it's not really actually all about that.
Yeah, it is. It isn't. It's about cards on the table, big me, big you. Let's show up. Let's participate in our existence. Contribute to psychological evolution. Laugh. Charge some hearts. It's not about. I'm not going to be sharing 39 years worth of tragic beach dwelling. We're going to actually get to the root of some issues and talk about what's going on around us.
Yeah, and that's interesting because we could actually talk about 39 years of
tragic beach dwelling as a sea lion.
So this is part of your Riled Up and Wasted on Light tour. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
Riled Up and Wasted on Light. It's a world tour. It's going to start in the U.S. Well, there's a couple one-offs, Philly and then Juneau and then Texas, Louisiana. And then I hop in the car and do everything south and west of Ohio, up to Canada, Australia, Africa, over to Europe via Iceland, U.K., back to the East Coast, and I'll be on the road for a year. And the title came from, to give context to the title, it came from, I should have this memorized, but basically, somebody saying, alluding to all the good times when there was any revelation in any size, we would tell it to you like a drunk octopus riled up and wasted on light. the eagerness to share good information with people. And that's the intention.
Right. It's interesting. It was just kind of funny. You know, I've been promoting the event here around town quite a bit, and most people are like, hey, the title, love it. that's the big feedback I've gotten.
It was originally just going to be called Skipping Chechnya, the World Tour. But I felt like I needed to give it a little more poetic meaning, so
Skipping Chechnya.
I just spoke to my current state of mind.
That's great.
A little annoyed and wasted on life and trying to pull it all together into some humble being that is answering the question properly, to what end.
Yeah. So the other, you know, this isn't your first time on tour. I was wondering if you could kind of give us a little background of sleeping in your car and things like that.
Yeah, that's back when you saved me, Jonah. I sold everything I owned or gave it away in 2001 after 3 tiny years of experience with this. And then, yeah, I sold it or gave it away and moved into a very small town called Honda Civic, as you know, which I'm currently sitting in. And as I look to buy a car for the new tour next week, and took off for 2 years and 4 months living in the car, touring every poetry venue in North America who would have me. And one thing led to another, and there was a world finals for Poetry Slam, the first world finals, and this is when we were actually living together. And Norman Lear called and said he wanted to pay for me to go out, and I accidentally won that one, and then and then the next one, and then the one after that. And ended up doing college shows and opening national concert tours for Sage Francis and Ani DeFranco, and did HBO's Deaf Poetry Jam. And boy, one thing led to another, and I'm just here and happy to get to live for a living, and it's quite a blessing indeed. I don't take it for granted for a second, and I am still working on representing it to the best of my ability, this opportunity.
Yeah. And so for those who don't know, you're actually signed to Righteous Babe Records, yeah?
I am. Ani DeFranco's Righteous Babe Records.
Yeah. And where can...
I'm loving it.
Yeah. Me too. Where else can people check out your work and just more about you?
BuddyWakefield.com. It's just my name.com, and I'm also easily accessed through Buddy at BuddyWakefield.com. On the website, there's an audio video page, and I just made my own playlist of YouTubes that have been recorded over the years in live shows. And none of them it's pretty hard to watch myself on them, but I thought it would be nice to put something up. And so that's for now. And then also for the tour, there'll be a gentleman who he's a documentarian, and he'll be doing a documentary on the Riled Up and Wasted Unlight tour and my work. And I'm really excited to have him. Unfortunately, his name is Sam Genesier, and I cannot remember the name of the Fugazi documentary he did, but I'm quite excited to have him on board, and he knows his stuff.
Nice.
Clearly more than I do.
Well, you're so Fugazi, so it works out actually. Okay.
And I just love the name dropping.
Yeah. I just love Fugazi, really. So tomorrow, Juno's really excited to have you here. So tomorrow you'll be doing a 15-minute feature at the Slam. The Slam starts at 6:30 at the Silver Bow. It's an open mic, and then Buddy will feature, and then we'll go right into the Slam, and that should just be a killer evening. It's always a lot of fun. Definitely check that out. And then on Saturday night, Buddy, you'll be performing beginning at 8 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom, and doors there at 7:30. And we definitely want to give a big shout-out to Suzanne Sakowitz also.
Yeah.
Who helped bring Buddy here and making all these shows possible. Buddy, we've got a town that's pretty excited to hear you.
I'm looking forward to it big time.
Cool. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Do I hang up now, or do I secretly wait on hold so we can process the phone call after?
We can't, unfortunately.
Okay, bye then.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow. That's Buddy Wakefield. And this is KTOO Studios, and it's Thursday, January 23rd. It's not even the 30th yet. And we're going to hear a little bit of Leonard Cohen, and definitely very Buddy Wakefield-esque.
Now I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the battle king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. The best thing just happened in the studio, and let me tell you what it is. I just got bombarded by Girl Scouts. Woo! That's great. So, hello, all of you. And can you actually speak right into the mic and tell us your names, please?
Annika.
Eva.
Grace.
Minta.
Bronwyn.
Elsie.
Elsie, thanks for coming to the studio. And there's also two other lovely people that I'd love to just have you introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, I'm Joan Pardis. I'm the co-leader of this troupe with Rebecca Farrell, who's not here. And then we have our musical director.
I'm Julie York Copins. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the studio. So I read this, and I got really excited because I didn't have any more information. But I read that Girl Scouts and singing telegrams, and that's the information I have. So what does that mean?
We're going to do singing telegrams for $40, and there's going to be a valentine, a tree, and a flower, and we would go and sing for whoever you'd want.
Right. So what we did is last year, we delivered singing telegrams on Valentine's Day because there's no school. So they all went and delivered 10 singing valentines, two songs, one flower, a craft, and something sweet. And we had Holland America Princess Tours deliver the love mobile. So they transported the girls all over town. And it was terrific. So we did it last year. It was part of raising funds for their big White Horse trip. The girls raised all the money to go to White Horse for 3 days. So we're doing the same this year for our summer expedition, which is yet to be named. The girls are deciding where they want to go. So we could deliver 10 valentines on Valentine's Day, and we go to the workplace. And to do it, all you have to do is email singingbrownies@gmail.com.
Singingbrownies@gmail.com. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All men out there listening.
And I have to say, last year we delivered to the hospital. We delivered to a young woman who worked at the museum who burst into tears, and then all of us burst into tears as well. It was just really, it was a wide variety of deliveries. So the girls are stoked. This is their second annual singing telegram service.
That's so cool. So it seems like what we have, we're ready to do a song. So we have a little bit of show of what you could actually get as a singing telegram for Valentine's Day. Here we go. That just warmed my little heart. My heart grew three sizes today. Oh, that's amazing. So what's the email address that you can send it to again?
Singingbrownies@gmail.com.
Singingbrownies@gmail.com. That's where you can hook your sweetheart up with a little brownie love.
There you go.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Yeah.
Really appreciate
actually,
it.
That's true. Brian, when you want to talk about that or no? Okay, so we're a Brownie Junior troupe, so that's what Bronwyn was saying, that we have some Brownies and we have some Juniors, and the girls go to all different schools, Gastineau, Harborview, Charter School, and some are homeschooled as well.
Oh, great. That's fabulous. Thank you so much. That was a lovely song, and Juno is certainly very lucky, and I hope you raise all sorts of funds for your fabulous trip this summer. Thanks for coming on the air.
Thank you.
So speaking of some more love here, we're just going to keep it going with a little bit of Al Green.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah, love. Thank you. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah.
Back to Juno Afternoon. A little bit of a giggle fest in here. That's what happens when you let brownies, junior brownies, in here to sing love
and
songs. And Nancy DeCherney. The one, the only Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up.
Shall we share the game?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is a game that my husband is playing with people where you substitute the word lunch every time you hear love in a song. And so we were just having lunch and happiness. it was fun. Okay. You can play.
Lunch is a battlefield?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of your lunch. Okay, we're here to talk about the arts.
Yes, what's going on, Nancy?
I think it's busy.
It's a little busy.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so let's see. Tonight there's a TED Talk on creativity, the Downtown Library. These are great talks, by the way. Rush at Everlasting. Going on. I think, what do we have? 2 more weeks?
2 more weekends.
Yeah. See, so that's what happens.
That is what happens.
You thought, I've got plenty of time to see that, and the next thing you know, the weekends are gone. So be thinking about that. I'm hearing good things about it. So, all right. Friday, it's at 6 p.m., the Juno World Affairs Council Annual World Quest Trivia and Silent Auction. That's always fun, too.
It's super cool.
Yeah, sometimes it makes me feel really stupid, but that's all right.
It's all about learning, really.
Yes, it is. But it's really a great evening. So go out and enjoy that one. Let's see. There's a Fast Break Club's first annual Game On beer tasting fundraiser, and doesn't really say where that is exactly, but you can get tickets for it at the door.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a fundraiser.
Fun.
For the Fast Break Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Very good. And at 6:30 p.m., there is Wishkanade's Poetry Slam and Open Mic with Buddy Wakefield. This is at Silverbow, and it's pay as you can. We have Buddy all weekend, I think, right?
We do. We just had him on the air, and he is talking about tomorrow night, and then we got Saturday night at 8 p.m.
A lot of stuff going on with him. I think it's going to be great. 6:30 and 8 p.m., the Fireside Lecture Series is on Latuya Bay, a magical enigma. That's out at the Glacier Visitor Center.
Ooh.
Yeah. I always very nice paintings of Latuya Bay I've seen. But anyway, Spamalot.
Yahoo! Yes, I love Spamalot. Monty Python lovers.
Yes.
Get
rise
your ticket
up.
Money out.
Well, you've got, I think, 2 weekends on this one, too. But like we said, you think you have a lot of time, and next thing you know, it's next week already.
And it's a collaboration between not just one high school, but 2 high schools.
Three. Yakus and Thunder Mountain and JDHS are all working together on this. It's great.
Look
really
at that.
Great idea. Okay, let's see. And Kari and the Wrist Rockets are out at McGivney's Friday night at 10. It's nice to get things going on out in the valley. There's a community garage sale at Nugget Mall on Saturday morning at 10. This is free for nonprofit groups. Just bring your own table, sort of like the mosquito markets we were doing, I think, but it's indoors, and go on in there and have a nice time. 11 a.m., it is a run walk, 2-mile annual Les Williams Memorial. It's at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. You go to that. There's a youth encaustic painting workshop at the State Museum at 1 o'clock. She's the one that's got the show up right there, which we should go see at the State Museum because it's going to close after this. Spamalot's got a 2 p.m. and a 7 p.m. show on Saturday. They're, Telebration. Is that happening? 4 p.m., a storytelling event out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitors Center. I think this is like a national sort of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pete Griffin was here today to just kind of give us the rundown. National storytelling event. It usually mm-hmm. takes place in November, but they wanted more people to come because there was lots of things going on in November. So
there's nothing going on this month.
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad something is. let's see. 5 and 2 night at the Juno Christian Center. Live music. Not sure what that is. 6 p.m. Jazz Divas at 7 p.m. at Zephyr with Tom Loker on the piano, Clay Good on drums. They suggest that you call for reservations 723-4890.
And Zephyr has a new owner, under new ownership.
Under new ownership and probably soon to change names and things like that, according to the newspaper.
That's
so
right.
It's exciting, all the new things that are opening up downtown.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're just going to have to eat around.
Lunch around.
Lunch around, yes. Uh-oh.
I know. I take it back.
Okay. Baby lunch. Anyway, let's see. Okay, and remember that Dan Hobson is always live at the Gold Room, Baranoff Gold Room on the weekends. It's a wonderful way to have a nice, quiet evening. 7:30 p.m. Winter Etiquette Ball with the Thunder Mountain Big Band out at the UAS Rec Center. This is free. There's a barn dance featuring the Groundhogs, appropriately enough, at St. Anne's Parish Hall. That is free to Saga folks, and it's $5 at the door for the rest of you. And that 8 p.m. on Saturday is Riled Up and Wasted on Light, the Buddy Wakefield World Tour. That's at the Hangar, and tickets are $10. You can get them in the usual spots. Sunday at 3 p.m., MK is doing a 12x12 art workshop, and the theme is black and white. If you've always wanted to participate in the black and white or in the 12x12 show that they do at the City Museum, it's an opportunity to work, get a little guidance and help with that.
Is she doing it up at the City Museum?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I believe your entrance fee includes all the supplies and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really nice. There's a Skate City family roller skating with DJ White Chocolate. That's at the Centennial Hall. That's at 3 p.m. At 7 p.m., Juno Cabaret is doing their cabaret thing, Pay As You Can, at Rockwell. There was some question about the location, but that is the location. So
oh, cool. And, you know, there's just some incredible singers, and singers that you wouldn't necessarily hear just around, you know, town.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Kind of
they're quiet behind the scenes, but
singers.
They go here.
And then they go to this event, and then they kill it, and you're like, whoa, hey.
Very nice.
Yeah.
On Monday, we have the California Guitar Trio and the Montreal Guitar Trio playing together. And I just saw a post on Facebook from a woman who saw them in Bend and said they were absolutely phenomenal. We only have 68 tickets for this left, so you best be, if you want to go see this, you need to get your tickets right away.
When?
That's on Monday at 7:30 at Thunder Mountain.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we had to pick a day where there wasn't anything going on.
Yeah.
Tuesday, it is it's when you drop off your submissions for the 12x12 exhibit.
Okay.
And it is one. We're having a one-night stand at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council with Kathy Hawker.
Ooh.
She's been working on a different way of drawing, sketching in the field, big drawings. And so she's very excited to share that with everyone. That's at 5 p.m. That's free, of course. Let's see. On Wednesday, The Innovation Summit starts in town, and that's going on for 2 days. They have a focus not just on regular business stuff, but how arts are important for that. So some really interesting speakers coming for that. Look that up. There's an old-time string band at the Red Dog Saloon. There have a special showing of Rush at Everlasting over at Perseverance. For all the people that are coming to town for these big meetings and whatnot, Thursday is the Governor's Awards for the Arts, and I want to encourage everyone to come. At least it's 2 for $40. Bamio is going to be playing. Yes. Do come to that. There's a VIP reception. We forgot to mention, but it's sold out anyway, so never mind. The Sea Alaska Tanea thing, art auction that's happening on Saturday. But, yeah, there's it's a busy little week.
You think?
Nothing like next week's going
to
be, though.
No, nothing like it. I just have one more question for you, Nancy. What's lunch got to do with it?
Oh, cow.
Yeah? Lunch and rockets. I'm going to do it all the time now. Luncheon.
It becomes sort of something that happens.
Yeah, this is great. This has been a great day on radio. Thanks, Nancy.
All right.
And you can check all this stuff out at
jahc.org or ktoo.org.
Nice. Thank you. And this is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Dock Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoona, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Tomorrow, we have a great show for Juneau Afternoons. Friday, January 24th, Pat Moore hosts. We'll talk about Saturday's DAR Genealogy Workshop, get a preview of the Friday Fireside Lecture about Lituya Bay with guest Lynn Schooler, and we'll get a preview of next week's Discovery Southeast Backcountry Film Festival at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, Writer's Almanac, and more. Thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon, and have a great day.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Another ruling today.